Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're breaking down a truly dominant performance by this Penn State team. 59-0 over Maryland. They win their Big Ten opener on the road. Really get rid of that Maryland crowd, which was all hyped up. I thought it was hilarious that they brought in extra seating for the students, and a lot of them didn't make it out of the first quarter. Bless your little hearts, Maryland. We're going to break down that whole game from start to finish. We're also going to hear from James Franklin, his thoughts coming after the game, which I think we've seen not that many more complete efforts from Penn State's team, not that many more positive reinforcing quotes from James Franklin after a game than we did in this game, all for good reason. And Greg, just to bottom line this for me, take the opponent, take Maryland out of the equation for a little bit. When was the last time that you saw a Penn State team play like this from quarter one to quarter four? We've seen it in 30-minute spurts. We saw it a lot in 2016. We saw a good performance all pretty much from start to finish against Idaho, but not quite like this, I feel like.
Yeah, this was easily the top performance of the James Franklin era. There's no question about it. I mean, you know, I think they were crisper than they were in the Idaho game, which is probably another one of those performances where everything kind of went exactly to plan and you really couldn't have asked for much more. But you got to go back a little ways before that, you know, when Penn State really just took a hold of a game and wouldn't give it back. I mean, it was from the moment Jan Johnson had made that interception, Maryland, you know, has two penalties tacked on. They have to call a timeout to get the right play into Sean Clifford. James Franklin's not happy, then becomes very happy when Sean Clifford sprints into the end zone untouched. And that was the beginning of the end for Maryland. So, yeah, you have to go back in the books here a little bit to find a performance that impressive from really the time Penn State got to the stadium to the time it left early Saturday morning. It was, the running game worked, the rotation worked, the offensive line produced well, the defensive line gave Maryland headaches. I mean, I don't know how much more you could expect from that kind of a win.
It was a nearly perfect win in terms of all the different elements of Penn State's game coming together. Again, we're going to have to kind of wait and see what the real identity of this Maryland team is over the course of the season before you get too carried away. But, you know, for Penn State to come out of its bye, A, not on its heels, you know, I think that's always a concern, you know, to take advantage of that extra time off, but also when the ball kicks off, being ready to play. Penn State was ready to play right away. The final numbers, I mean, 421 passing yards total, 398 belonged to Sean Clifford, 619 total yards to 128 for Maryland. And, you know, that discrepancy was present all game long. Six different players scored touchdowns. Josh Jackson was 10 out of 21, Maryland's quarterback, for 65 yards, threw two interceptions. Anthony McFarland, for the second year in a row, just bottled up. And, you know, Penn State was able to build such a big lead while doing that, that McFarland wasn't really an issue or a factor at all for Maryland. It's the opposite of the game script that Maryland wanted to play out. Penn State just exerted its will. Nine rushes for 24 yards for him. You know, you look at this series, Greg. The last three meetings, 163-6 is the total score. How do you explain that? I mean, Penn State is clearly better, but I think that there's also some kind of psychological thing happening here too, not just Penn State being more talented.
Yeah, I think that when it comes down to it, you know, Penn State has been recruiting some of the best players in Maryland, and Maryland has not been able to get those players. I think that, you know, Josh Jackson was viewed as a guy who could come in and really make a difference, and he did against Syracuse for sure, not so much against Temple. And then the biggest difference he made Friday night was in Penn State's favor. You know, he was not crisp, he was not efficient, he was, you know, missing throws, missing open guys, throwing interceptions in the red zone, all the things you can't do if you want to upset a top 25 team at home. And that's kind of been the issue, you know, for Maryland, I think, during this series, is that They have not had good quarterback play really for about 5-6 years now, and that's a problem, because when you become one dimensional against Penn State, you're going to have big time problems. Pitt found that out too, where it could move the ball, it could keep the game close, but it was one dimensional. It could not run the ball, and eventually Kenny Pickett turned into a pumpkin and, you know, wasn't able to lead the Panthers to victory. So I think for the Penn State game plan was to limit McFarland's explosiveness, not let Jackson beat him with deep passes, and then try and jump on Maryland early. And they checked all three of those boxes before the first quarter was over.
They absolutely did. A couple thoughts just on Josh Jackson. You see a guy who physically he measures up, and I think physically he can make basically every throw on the field, and that's the exciting part about bringing him in. You feel like for Maryland, who has recruited pretty well, they've got some athletes. You're not talking about an elite level athleticism from top to bottom on their roster, but I think they're good enough. The issue with Josh Jackson is, you know, when things really kind of break down on him, when things go awry, when the protection fails, whatever, he doesn't see the field well enough to really be able to cope with that. And you saw that be an issue on Jan Johnson's interception early, which was a huge part of the game. Any thought that Maryland had of storming out and getting its fans excited went out the window on that first drive. But that was an issue of him not seeing the field. Obviously, the interception in the red zone right at the goal line was an issue of not seeing the field or rushing a decision before it was ready to be made. You know, and I thought, speaking to Maryland recruiting and their offensive line, when they're introduced on the game broadcast, you see them, and you know, there's five guys. If Penn State didn't try to land or offer any of those five guys, that tells me that their offensive line isn't where they need to be.
Right.
If there's a talented offensive lineman in the Maryland, Virginia area and Penn State, you know, hasn't offered him, then I think that's a little bit of an issue. So there's some work to be done in the trenches there. You just can't fast forward your development as a program. If you're not good up front, you know, Penn State has been in this position before. Mm-hmm. Plenty of athletes. Plenty of playmakers. If you can't even have a shot to own the line of scrimmage, you're just not going to make it very far.
No. And we've seen that with Penn State in some of these big games too, where, you know, you can hide some of your flaws and you can overcome some of your weaknesses eventually. But you know, when it comes down to it, and especially when you're playing a defensive line like Penn State's, it's aggressive, opportunistic, and fast. You know, you're not going to be able to overcome all of those steps over and over and over again. So I think that this was the kind of win Penn State needed to have. You know, it didn't want to go down there and just, you know, beat Maryland, but only do so by a couple points and showcase a lot of problems. And, you know, they fixed the third down offense for at least this one game. They fixed the third down defense for this one game. They just, again, did really everything that you could ask a team to do in their Big Ten road opener. And now they come back and get a Purdue team that looks to be maybe without its quarterback, maybe without star Rondell Moore. I mean, they're a 24.5-point favorite, and you would expect a game similar to the Maryland one, I think, to break out. Purdue's a little bit more advanced as a program at this point, but you're not going to win too many games if you're playing without your starting quarterback and your best player on the field.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's probably, you know, to get into the nitty-gritty of Purdue is probably a different conversation for a different day, but this was not a complete football team even before this. You know, I think with both of these guys healthy, Penn State is easily a double-digit favorite. They just don't, you know, there are some holes in their game. So Penn State, you know, to bottom line that part of it, looks like a pretty good bet to be 5-0 and 2-0 in Big Ten play after next weekend. We'll see. Looking ahead to Purdue, you got to check out gopsurv.com if you haven't made your travel arrangements yet. If you have for this weekend, make sure you change them up for one of the later Big Ten weekends. Go check out gopsurv.com. The RV lot there can rent out a luxurious RV to you and a bunch of your friends. You can arrive there on Friday. You can leave on Sunday. They've got all kinds of awesome food from 409 Tailgate Club and drink from our friends at tailgatewine.com. You can get a shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium. All the logistics are taken care of for you, so you don't have to worry about the new traffic pattern and all that stuff, especially for a noon kick. You can still check it out for Purdue. You can also check it out for later in the season. It's gopsurv.com. To circle back to the interceptions, Greg, how big do you think they are? Like you see over the course of 60 minutes, Penn State controlled this game from start to finish. But you do kind of wonder, I guess, if you don't step up there, if you're Jan Johnson and make a big play, if you're Tariq Castro-Fields, if you're not intercepting that pass in the end zone, the game had a chance to take on a little bit different feel. I do suspect that that wouldn't have mattered a whole lot in the grand scheme of things, but it did derail any Maryland plans right from the get-go.
Yeah, it certainly made Penn State's life a lot easier to be able to get that red zone interception. That was a terrible throw. I'm still not sure what Jackson was looking at. I went back and watched the game, and I just don't think he ever was looking to see who was dropping in the coverage, and that ended up being, you know, a pretty big deal. So, yeah, I don't think there's any question that, you know, Penn State took advantage with those two plays. They were able to, you know, quiet the Maryland crowd down. Now, don't get me wrong. It was said to be a sellout, and it wasn't, and it was said to be a, you know, a it was not a Maryland advantage in the field, you know, or in the stands rather, or on the field for that matter. So it was not that it was ridiculously loud when Penn State had the ball, but anytime you can, again, not let a team fester with hope and think that they can still beat you, the better off you're going to be more often than not when you're on the road. Penn State was able to take them out of it with those two big interceptions. They were good play calls by Brent Pry. And after that, you know, Penn State just pinned its ears back and said, we're going to keep blitzing you, especially after the Maryland tackle got hurt. They said, we're going to blitz and blitz and blitz and blitz. And I mean, think about it. Penn State was without arguably one of its best players in Micah Parsons for a darn good, 42-45 minutes of this game, and you would have never known what to do. And that's credit to the backups too, because when those guys came in the second, third, and fourth stringers, Penn State didn't drop off at all.
Well, yeah, and then later in the game, I know this is something that we'll hear from James Franklin, you know, the reserve guys playing at a high level when the game's out of hand. You know, that's something that he wanted to see from them. He saw it in this game. Also, you know, you had guys like Ellis Brooks who probably played, he picked up some of the snaps that they lost from Micah Parsons, played outstanding. 2.5 sacks for him. Jesse Lucchetta, I think we all knew that he had it in him too, but these are two guys in particular, when you're looking at the shining depth of the linebacker position, we probably don't discuss them quite enough because it's easy to focus on Micah Parsons, you know, and the older guys. It's easy to focus on the two exciting five-star freshmen who are there. These guys are totally legitimate too. I think we knew that beforehand, but now I think we just got another level of information. You saw Jesse Lucchetta kind of step up and play big time, and Ellis Brooks too. Really a big deal, I think, for the depth at this position, which is just outstanding.
Yeah, it was a good day all the way around. And, you know, again, when you see Nick Bowers get into the end zone, when you see Will Levis score twice, you know, these are the kind of 13 guys catch passes. You know, I don't have the tackle numbers in front of me, but I'd be willing to bet that, you know, Penn State traveled 74 guys, and I'd be willing to bet, you know, 72 got in the game and 15 made a tackle. So this is a great morale booster, and especially it's nice to get it in September because October is going to be pretty tough.
And to see D.C. Isaac and guys like that playing late, big deal. We're not done talking Penn State and Maryland. We're going to come back after this break and continue looking at Sean Clifford in that running game.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.